Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find three new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, when the pandemic struck just over a year ago, no sector remained untouched. Education was a field that had to adapt quickly at all levels. In just a matter of days, there was that pivot toward online learning to help reduce the spread of the deadly coronavirus. Now, with many colleges and universities finishing up their spring semesters, we thought it would be a good idea to check in with Iowa college presidents to ask about lessons learned and about the future of higher education in particular, a year unlike any other. Well, in just a moment, I'll be talking with Luther College President Jennifer Ward. But first, let's talk with the president of Kirkwood Community College. President Lori Sundberg joins us. President Sundberg, how nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation today.
Well, so nice we get to talk, and I have to ask you right now at this particular point in time with the spring semester over, I think commencement through, you must be feeling a huge sigh of relief.
I am feeling a huge sigh of relief. That is for sure. This has been a year, actually more than a year, that I know none of us could ever have foreseen. And it is one that I'm glad that we're starting to have in the rearview mirror.
Yes. How was graduation?
It was wonderful. It was virtual, and so not ideal and not the way we would obviously want to do it. But it was great. We used Marching Orders, which is a great organization. And the departments this year did a little bit more with the graduates from the departments to recognize them a little bit more and to make it more special. And so I'm looking forward next year to having it in person again, of course. But I think it was a really nice event.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back over a year or to the 2020, this past year. And let me just ask you, what period or month was the darkest for you as president in terms of getting a handle on it, adapting to what needed to change?
Yeah, so I would say probably a year ago, April. So in March, it was right at spring break, we decided not to reopen and go back to the classroom after spring break. And I would say, you know, I thought that might be just for a couple of weeks, but then in April, it became clear that it was going to be for a while. And so I would say that was probably the most uncertain time, because there was nothing in our history, right, to go back and look at and say, okay, well, this event is kind of like that event, so we should maybe consider doing this. Mm-hmm. We were facing an event that, you know, some have called a black swan event, that really there wasn't anything to compare it to. So we really were making decisions on the fly and with the current information we had, without, you know, I would tell my team, there's no playbook for this. You know, we don't have anything to tag this to or to look to. So we have to just make the best decision we can make with the information we have. Mm-hmm. So that was probably April, probably was the most challenging time, as I was coming to grips with the notion that it was not going to be short term and we were facing something we'd never faced before.
Mm-hmm. Once you started making changes, going to online instruction, looking back, what do you wish you had known at that time? I mean, undoubtedly, because this is an event none of us have ever experienced, there were, I would imagine, missteps, things that worked well and probably failures. What were those things?
It's interesting that you asked that question, because I've thought about that over the course of all these months. And I know there were things in the classroom that faculty would try that maybe didn't work. You know, let's do this assignment and kind of do it this way. And they're like, okay, that didn't work. From an institutional perspective, there was nothing that we did that absolutely didn't work. We had one event, so it was last fall. We always have a kickoff, come back to school, and it's for faculty and staff. And of course, it was virtual. And it was our first big virtual event. And it was kind of, that's when the president kind of talks about the upcoming year, and we were in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so I did it virtually, and it was streamed. And we had so many people sign on, so many employees sign on, that it just didn't work well. And so we really had to rethink that. So you have to understand, we probably have about 800 full-time employees and then a lot of part-time adjunct employees. And so we had a lot of people sign on, more so than what we thought, because it was recorded, because people were just so uncertain about where things were going to go. And they wanted to see what the institution was thinking and what I was thinking and the leadership team. And that surprised us. So if you ask me like one thing that didn't work, that obviously didn't work. And that was early in the pandemic. I'm confident there are things in the classroom, small things, but overall things work pretty well.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. And I'm proud of my team. I'm proud of everyone, because if things weren't working, they were making mid-course corrections, and so that we didn't get to a place where it was a fail.
Kirkwood Community College teaches such a wide variety of courses, so valuable to get people into careers. So what subjects or classes proved hardest to adapt in this pandemic?
Sure, that's a great question. So the hardest ones to adapt, of course, are CTE, Career Technical Education, because almost all of those have a clinical or hands-on component. And the examples I can give you, you can't learn to be a nurse without actually working on patients. And you can't learn to be a dental hygienist if you can't work on someone's teeth. And you can't learn to weld if you don't actually ever hold a torch. And so those are all those areas where, I mean, I know our faculty were very creative, but at the end of the day, they still have to have labs and they still have to have those clinicals because they have to have the hands-on. And a lot of that is dictated by accreditors, but it's also good practice. So those were the areas that probably had, well, I can not say probably, I know they had the most struggles.
Mm-hmm. And did they overcome those challenges? I mean, or did those students who graduated will just have to learn the hands-on aspects later when this pandemic subsides more?
Yeah, no, they cannot graduate without having that component. And so last spring, we suspended face-to-face clinicals and labs. And then those students came back over the summer, and we had smaller class sizes, and we did a lot with social distancing, but there's still faculty members still had to be closed in some instances. And so they were able to make up those clinicals and labs last summer so that they stayed current. And then this year, then we continued and we had clinicals and labs. We had extra protocols in place, but it worked. And so it's not one of those things that you can just bypass and let someone graduate. They have to have those skills. And that's a lot of times dictated by accreditors. So our nursing program has an additional accreditation besides the colleges, as well as dental hygiene, physical therapy, occupational therapy. So those all have additional accreditors.
Mm-hmm. Before we say goodbye, President Sundberg, tell us, and we're all just overjoyed this spring as the infection rates drop dramatically, hospitalizations, and of course, deaths drop dramatically. We hope we are on this glide path just to get rid of this virus. But Regardless of that, what changes would you say are here to stay for higher education, specifically for Kirkwood Community College?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the question that everyone's asking. And so what I would tell you is that I believe that we will have more virtual learning going forward. At first, our students were somewhat resistant and they really wanted face-to-face. But as they became more accustomed to how virtual learning worked, they developed some comfort with it. And so I think we will definitely have more virtual learning. But what I also know is with all of us, we all miss the connection with people. And we missed, I know my students missed hanging out with their friends, campus activities, all of those ways that we connect with people. And that is part of the college experience as well, particularly for traditional students. And so, well, I think virtual learning will be increased and we will have more of that going forward. I think we're still always going to have that traditional college experience as well. And I know all of us, myself included, I'm looking forward to having dinner with friends. I'm looking forward to having more normalcy because we all just miss that connection. And so there's going to be a lot of lessons learned and a lot of reflection back to think about the best possible way forward. And so what I would tell you now is, you know, my thoughts are reasoned assumptions, but our student behavior will tell us what they want ultimately.
Okay, thank you very much, Kirkwood Community College President Lori Sundberg. It's been a pleasure. I hope to talk to you again in the future, and we'll see how things have changed to an even brighter set of circumstances, we hope.
Thank you.
River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. If you've been listening this half hour, we're talking with Iowa College presidents to have them look in the rearview mirror, so to speak, to talk about the upheaval caused by the pandemic. We hope the brunt of that upheaval is well behind us. I want to talk about lessons learned and the ways in which higher education has been changed, maybe for good, even when this pandemic subsides even further. My next guest is Luther College President Jennifer K. Ward. President Ward, welcome to our program.
Hi, Ben. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. I have to ask you the same question I asked the president of Kirkwood Community College. With commencement behind you and the spring semester behind you, what are you feeling right now?
I wish I could tell you that I feel an enormous sense of relief, and I do somewhat, but mostly what I feel is an enormous sense of pride that we got through the year, and an enormous sense of optimism looking forward to some of the things that we know are going to await us next year. We had our commencement just 2 days ago, and the feeling was palpable. The ability to be together and to celebrate a ritual moment in person was enormous for us. And so I'm looking forward to building on that energy as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. So this was not a virtual commencement. This was an in-person, old-fashioned commencement you had.
Well, yes, quasi old-fashioned. And what I mean by that is that the graduates were together in our Center for Faith and Life and the stage party, but the parents and friends were in remote locations on campus, in classrooms and other spaces with faculty and staff hosts. So they watched it via streaming. And then as soon as the commencement ceremony itself was over, the graduates filed out of the CFL through a kind of gauntlet of faculty and staff who celebrated them. And then everyone gathered, parents, faculty, staff, students, on the big lawn in the center of our campus for an in-person gathering and celebration in that way. So it was a little bit of a hybrid, and it was streamed, so people who couldn't come at all were able to watch it.
Wonderful to hear that you're here feeling such pride getting through this year. We all have reasons to be proud of meeting this challenge. Take us back, though, to the period or month that was the darkest one for you as president in 2020. When would that have been?
I would say there were two times. One was shortly after the pandemic was declared, and we realized that we were going to need to send students home. That was in March of 2020. That was not a fun week for the president or for any of our faculty or staff or students or parents or our town, which, you know, is really dependent on Luther College for a lot of its economic activity. And then I would say the next moment was that period when we experienced really nationwide that surge in November, mm-hmm. Where we thought things were going to spin out of control. And then through, I would say, the first week of January, everyone was sort of on pins and needles seeing if we were going to be able to manage it. So those were pretty dark times. I think just in terms of decision making, and one of the things that I always tell people is that the real exhaustion around COVID for administrators in my role was just the 24/7, 365 stress of not knowing what was going to happen from minute to minute.
Right. And would there be an outbreak? When would be the next outbreak? Changing conditions.
Exactly.
From week to week. So when you look back in the rearview mirror, what adaptations in your educational system there proved especially good? Maybe you can juxtapose those with ones that didn't work so well.
Yeah. So one of the things that we did early on back in March and April was start to redo the academic calendar for this coming year, since we really didn't know what was going to happen. So we kind of busted up the calendar and rebuilt it for the year. And one of the things that we did that worked really well was have a September term, which is not something that Luther College had done in its regular practice. And that was to bring students back gradually. So that was first year students. And then we took the next chunk of time and divided it into 7-week modules, so that with only 2 courses at a time, so that if we had to shut everything down, only 2 courses would be impacted as opposed to 4. And then for the spring, we went back to the regular semester. So what went really well there is that September term. And one of the reasons, A, is because, you know, we were able to bring people back in a phased manner, so we didn't have that many people on campus at the beginning. But it also allowed us to build a kind of cohort experience for these first-year students, where they bonded to each other, where they bonded to the college, to the idea of being a nurse at Luther College, bonded with their faculty and staff, and everyone pretty much uniformly thought of that as a big success story. And I think we need to think about how to build those cohort experiences for incoming students into the sort of regular way of life here at Luther. I would say what didn't go so well was not so much about not going so well. It was just about how fatiguing it was to do Zoom so much. Mm-hmm. And so for those shorter terms that I talked about, where you have only 2 courses, but you're spending more time on them, spending more time on something on Zoom, That's a heavy lift, both for faculty and for students. And so, you know, we couldn't have known that necessarily, but I would say that that's something that we probably learned we would not want to do again, for example.
What are the changes, President Ward, that are, you think, perhaps here to stay? Will you keep any things? Did you learn things that might be used when the pandemic is gone?
For sure. I think one of the things that we learned, was how much people love being in person. I mean, I think we talk about the value of a residential liberal arts college experience, and I think we were able to really demonstrate the power of that when it was partially taken away. So we learned that lesson. But the other thing that I would say is that we really started to see that that some of the things that we were, quote, forced to do, end quote, because of the pandemic and being online or having virtual opportunities were things that we probably need to think about doing anyway. So for a student with accommodation needs or certain learning disabilities or things along those lines, having a remote option actually helped. And so how then do we take some of those lessons and build them back into the way we operate on a regular basis?
One of the attractions besides Luther College, its academics and so forth, it's just the community is tremendous.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm really especially proud of is that early on, when Luther College, you know, issued a mask mandate on campus, students really took that seriously. And when they would go into town, this was before there was a local ordinance, would go into town, they would stay masked up and they would stay distanced. And I heard from so many people in the community that Luther students were really providing leadership for the local community in terms of how to manage and mitigate. Mm. And so, you know, who wouldn't be proud of that when you hear that about your students?
As we end this conversation, tell us, President Ward, about your outlook for the summer, then into the fall.
Right. Well, we're looking forward to returning to normal operations in the fall. Right now, we're building a path to normal operations in the classrooms and residence halls, you know, where students, faculty, and staff won't be required to wear face masks or observe physical distancing, but we'll keep our COVID indicators and alert levels so that we can reset if we need to, which is what we've done all year.
Luther College President Jennifer K. Ward, thank you very much for this conversation. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, you are so welcome. A pleasure to talk to you as well.
And that's it for today's program. Tomorrow on the program, it's a Politics Wednesday edition. Rachel Caulfield of Drake University, Donna Hoffman of the University of Northern Iowa, our political analysts. River to River today, produced by Rick Brewer. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find 3 new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.